Welcome to Harmony Church. It's so good to see you. I'm so happy that you're here. If you would, with me, let's just turn our affection and our attention to God. God, we thank you for the honor and the privilege it is to come before you, to love you, to be a part of your family. God, we ask that as we worship you in spirit and in truth, that you would receive our love and that we will receive yours. God, we come to worship, we come to praise, we come to love you. Oh, Father, we have come to bow down in worship, lifting up our hearts, we bow down in praise. Sing hallelujah. Star. And bright and morning star, your eyes blaze like fire, shining like the sun, shining like the sun, your our hearts desire, yeah. Sing hallelujah. I want you to sing this with me. All the angels cry out. Whoa. And all the angels cry out. Holy is the Lord God. All the earth replies. Holy are you. And all the angels cry out. Holy is the Lord God. All the earth replies. sing this out. Worthy. Worthy of every song we could ever sing. Worthy of all the praise we could ever bring. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for you. Jesus, the name above every other name. Jesus, the only one who could ever save. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for you. Oh, we live for you. Yeah. In a world there is no one like you. There is none beside. Jesus. Yeah, yeah. Jesus, the name above every other name. Jesus, the only one who could ever save. Yeah. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for you. Oh, yes, we do. Beside you, open up my eyes in wonder and show me who you are and fill me with your heart and lead me in your love to those around me. Lead us in your love. Lead us in your love this morning. With your goodness, oh, lead us in your love, yes, lead us in your love, God, surround us in your fullness, surround us in your fullness, and I will build my life upon your love. It is a firm foundation, and I in you alone, and I will not be shaken. Let's do it again. And I will build my life upon your love. It is a firm foundation, and I will put my trust in you. In your love this morning. Oh, surround us with your goodness. Surround. No matter what your situation is this morning. what you've been through last week or what you're about to go through. Oh, God, fill us with your love. Fill us with your love this morning.
When we sing songs, I think it's important for us to understand the heart behind what we're singing and to kind of apply it to the real world. And I think all of us, whether it's been this last week or today even, challenges, right? Things that maybe we had plans for things to go a certain way and they didn't go that way, or disappointments or anything like that. And so as we sing this, when we say we put our trust in God, that God is a firm foundation, that we will not be shaken, we're declaring things over our heart, over our mind, over our soul. And we're strengthening ourselves as we sing this. And so we're going to sing it again. But now I want you to get in your mind and in your heart and in your soul those things that maybe you feel challenged by, those things that you're not looking forward to walking into this next week. And I want you to put that in your mind, and I want you to see God as a firm foundation that you cannot be shaken, that God cannot be shaken. So let's sing that again. Oh, yeah, 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 oh. And I will build my life upon your love. It is a firm foundation. I will put my trust in you. If you believe that, that God cannot be shaken and he's a firm foundation. God, we love you. We adore you. Be with us in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Wow, what a powerful morning. Amen. Yes, building our trust, building ourselves and putting ourselves into God's hands. Oh my goodness. We want to thank you, everybody, for choosing to be here and worship with this affirming faith community of Harmony Toluca Lake. Your presence, whether it's in person or online, means so much to us. So I'm Pastor Mark, and on the screen, you see a QR code. It's providing a way for you to let us know that you're worshiping with us. Not only would we like to connect with you, we want you to also be aware of everything, all the things that are happening here at Harmony in person and virtually. You're important to God, and you're important to us too. Last Sunday, we were presented with a Super Bowl challenge, a throwdown from our colleagues and congregations in Cincinnati, since their football team, the Bengals, will be playing the Los Angeles Rams in today's Super Bowl match. Now, Faith Community, the challenge is before us to support projects to address hunger in our communities. And today is the last day to participate, so here's hoping you will. On short notice, food has been collected. And as I was talking with Rev Jefferson, we're going to continue to collect food. But there's also, we are receiving financial contributions. If you'll go to hollywoodumc.org, hollywoodumc.org, there's the website, and you click on the donate link. After doing so, you'll see that page, and you can scroll several giving options, and there is the North Hollywood Interfaith Food Pantry option. Our specific goal is answering this challenge with the dollars to help offset food insecurity. Thus far, we have raised over $300. Let's aim for $500, if not $1,000 today. All right? Again, go to hollywoodumc.org, donate link at the top of the page, and there we go. As I mentioned previously, the real Super Bowl competition is for us to outdo one another in doing all the good that we can for those struggling to put adequate and healthy food on their tables. Friends, there's quite a bit happening here at Harmony, the weekly Bible study, Be Still and Know meditations, plus other gatherings. This Tuesday, a short notice, February 15th at 7 p.m., and it's on Zoom for 1 hour. 1 hour. Pastor Bridie Roberts is going to be combining the Hollywood and Harmony campuses to dream and pray and brainstorm needed steps in our ministry for our unhoused neighbors. This advocacy work is extremely important, and we want you to be a part of it. And so this is a way for us to be together and help those in need. Contact information is Pastor Bridie at HollywoodUMC.org. This coming Saturday, we're excited that Jace is going to be leading us, and this is at 10 a.m., so it's not so that's the Creation Care one, but we've got a service project. So it's this Saturday at 10 a.m. here at the campus. Jace has got all the stuff for the cleanup. We're going to clean up in the area for 2 hours. It's not that much taxing work, but it is a way for us to take part and put into action what we believe in caring for creation. We're going to be following protocols. And again, you can see Jace or contact him at Jace, J-A-S-E, at hollywoodumc.org. And also, Jason Hecht is ready and rearing to go for our Dining Out with Harmony experience, and that is going to be happening on Monday, February the 21st at 6:30 p.m., and it's over in Burbank at Finney's Craft House. The last thing I want to mention here is something that's very special. Harmony is going to host a baby shower. We're going to host a baby shower, and we love our babies. And this is for Tracy and Sarah Stone. But I just want us to know we're going to take appropriate precautions, right, in the midst of the pandemic. We are excited about this soon-to-be arrival of this little baby girl. And the baby shower, what's going to be done, is going to be held immediately after worship service on Sunday, March the 6th. So it gives us plenty of time. What I'm going to do is put the link for the baby register in this week's Harmony e-newsletter. And if you'd like to learn more, chat with the awesome Loretta Martinez, who is putting this together with joy. Yes, indeed. There's a lot of information in the e-news about our also combined Soul Food Worship Sunday service. It's going to be held at the Hollywood campus on Sunday, February 27th. So check out our e-news as well as our social media pages on Facebook and Instagram. Friends, as we do each Sunday, we extend gratitude. We extend gratitude to our worship service participants. So we want to say thank you. Thank you to Gaddison and the worship band. We also our phenomenal production and greeting team members, Jewel DeGuzman, Jason Blackwell, Rachel Boston, who's joining us via Tennessee, and also to Josh Astor, currently living in Kentucky, who will be sharing this morning's children's moment with us.
Hey kids, it's Josh from Kentucky. Tomorrow's Valentine's Day. And one of the things I always think about, well, probably everyone thinks about when they think of Valentine's Day, is love. Now, this reminds me of probably one of my favorite people in the whole world, and that was my grandmother. And we had this thing when I was a kid, where we would say, we'd be in the car usually, and I would look at her and I'd say, I love you, Grandma, and I would probably be like maybe 4 or 5. And I would say, I love you, Grandma, and she would say, I love you more. And then I would say, I love you most. And then she would look at me, and just the way my grandmother could, and she'd go, I don't think so. And you know what that reminds me of? That reminds me of God's love. How sometimes we think we, in our ability to love, we are loving and we love God and we love what they do for us. But do you know what? God says, looks at us and says, I love you more. And we look at him and we're like, no, I love you more, or I love you most. And it's like God just says, I don't think so. We will never be able to understand how much God loves us for just being. See, sometimes when we say, I love God or I love the Lord, sometimes there's a tendency to say that because of what he's done for us. But God, you know what? He just loves us for who we are. Perfect. 100%. Authentic us. Isn't that powerful? Isn't that just, that makes me feel special. Just knowing that whatever I am, wherever I am, who I am, I don't have to do anything. I don't have to try hard. I just have to be. I hope you guys have a wonderful Valentine's Day and a wonderful time in church today. I wish you guys all the best, and I hope to see you again soon.
Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for bringing us together safely this morning. We give thanks for this month of love. Lord, help us to love as you love. When you call us to stand up for justice, love is the power that drives our actions. When we give our time and our possessions, love for you and your people will shine above love for worldly things. Thank you for showing us what the word love really means. May we celebrate and appreciate all that we have and all that we are, and open our minds to practice that same mindset with others. May our words and actions be ones that glorify you. In your name we pray, amen.
The joy box. But I want to frame first letter of Corinthians, chapter 13, verses 1 through 13, the translation is from the New Revised Standard Version. If I speak in the tongues of mortals and of angels, but I do not have love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to move mountains, but I do not have love, I am nothing. If I give away all my possessions, and if I hand over my body so that I may boast, but I do not have love, I gain nothing. Love is patient, love is kind. Love is not envious or boastful or arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice in wrongdoing, but it rejoices in the truth. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. But as for prophecies, they will come to an end. As for tongues, they will cease. As for knowledge, it will come to an end. For we know only in part, and we prophesy only in part. But when the complete comes, the partial will come to an end. When I was a child, I spoke like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became an adult, I put an end to childish ways. For now we see in the mirror dimly, but then we will see face to face. Now I know only in part. Then I will know fully, even as I have been fully known. And now faith, hope, and love abide, these three. And the greatest of these is love. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Your word, moving power, let what's dead
let's sing it one more time.
To you our hearts are open, nothing here is hidden, you are our one desire. For you alone are holy, only you are worthy, God, let your fire fall down.
Yeah. Amen. What magnificent music, right? Yes, and we want to thank Gaddison and Evan and Ethan and R.C. Edison, R.C. Maxwell, the whole band that's lifting up our voices and their voices and talents and passionate praise for the Almighty God of love. I want to point out, too, to Gaddison that we need to have Jason Blackwell part of that creative team, right? Yeah, mm-hmm. indeed. Woo, yes. So, friends, this morning we continue. Oh, and by the way, with love, hey, happy Valentine's Day. All right, yes. So, this morning we continue our current sermon series, All You Need Is Love. And as we celebrate and recognize Black History Month, as well as this month of love, this sermon series, what we're doing is we're focusing our community faith on how God's love and grace surrounds each of us. And it calls us into a new way of living and being and loving. Last Sunday's message, what it did was we brought on a counterintuitive challenge, and that's to love one's enemies. And that's without exception, right? And as Jesus told us, we are to treat people in the same way as that you want them to treat you. Because everyone is made in the image of the divine creator and equal in the eyes of the Holy One. Now, I'm giving you a quick preview of the next two Sundays that follow. So next Sunday, pastoral intern Jace Lucas is going to be sharing the third message in our series, centering on our call to love ourselves, love God, and love others. And then on February 27th, we have Soul Food Sunday. And what that's going to happen is we're going to combine our worship service, combined worship service over at the Hollywood campus. So that's where we're going to be at 11 a.m. And we're coming together for a Mardi Gras type of celebration, a culmination for Black History Month, with special music is going to be shared and provided by the HUMC Chancel Choir and John West, as well as Gaddison and the Worship Band, and celebratory moments that are going to include us hearing from Dr. Larry Hyde Jr. By the way, if you haven't already signed up, there are going to be box lunches, a soul food meal that is prepared by Chef Jamie from the Cultured Soul. Alrighty, so today our centering scripture passage, which was read and recorded by Rachel Boston with her precious baby Grace in tow, is from the first letter of Paul that he wrote to the early church at Corinth. And I don't think I'm mistaken to say that this passage is probably one of the best known, most beloved in the Bible. And in addition, it is a staple. It is a staple of secular and quasi-religious marriage ceremonies. This week, when I had a very brief moment to touch base with Rev. Kathy, we were chit-chatting about the scripture text and reflections and ideas, and of all things, what popped into my head and Rev. Kathy's was the 2000 film Wedding Crashers. Now, you may be sitting there going, really, Pastor Mark, Wedding Crashers? Now, I know, just hang in there with me. So for those who've seen the film, you'll remember that the comedic duo of Owen Wilson and Vince Vaughn, they play best friends, and of course, they crash wedding parties as a way to pick up women. Well, in one of the early scenes in this movie, Well, these two guys, they're attending a wedding ceremony, and the pastor announces that the bride's sister, well, she's going to come forward, and she's going to read a scripture passage. And so Owen's character turns over to turns to Vince's character, and he whispers, $20, 1 Corinthians. And Vince's character replies, double or nothing, Colossians 3:12. So the bride's sister, she goes up to the lectern, and then she speaks, and she says, a reading from Paul's first letter to the Corinthians, and there we go. Now, if I were a betting man, I got to tell you, my money would have definitely been on 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Now, why is that? Because I have personally heard, and I bet you Rev Dave has been right there with me, that we probably heard this 99% of the wedding ceremonies that we've attended. But understand, I'm not saying that this is a bad thing. This isn't a bad thing. In fact, it's totally the opposite, as this is a timeless passage of one of the most beautiful, beautiful expressions of love that is found in the Bible. In this part of the letter, Paul, what he does is he applies something that is known as poetic symmetry. Now, you may sit there, poetic symmetry. Well, here we go. What I mean by this is that he lists 8 things that love embraces and 8 things that love resists. So here we go. If you can see that, it's very tiny. Love embraces patience, kindness, and truth. So there's 3. Love resists envy, boasting, arrogance, and rudeness. Love resists selfishness, anger, resentment, and wrongdoing. And then it picks back up on the embracing part with verses 7 and 8. And see, we already had 3. And here we go. It embraces resilience, faith, hope, endurance, and love never ends. This is a great and empowering framework, friends, for all of us to work with as we are told to love everyone. Everyone. Right, faith community? And we're to share that love with everyone whose path crosses ours. And this same framework should be applied to ourselves. To ourselves and what we need to embrace personally and that which we need to let go of, to let it go. But I want to be clear, love is never held alone in one's self. Love always involves another, and love always links oneself to another. Folks, this isn't the stuff of fluff. This is not, oh, that warm little feeling or a great emotion. This love of which Paul writes, it's a state of being. It is a state of being. It is a way in which we relate to others. And I believe this love is truly possible because of the glorious presence of God. And as we dig into what this agape self-giving love means and how it impacts how we embody this new way of living God's and Christ's call for us, amen, why did he include this love section here in this letter to the Corinthians? Well, you see, this is important. This is important for our understanding. So if we go into the chapter that's ahead of this one in chapter 12, there is a big brouhaha happening. There is a big brouhaha happening in the Corinthian church, and Paul is calling it and them out. You could say he was addressing it, and I think he was actually addressing it in a kind, nicious way. And what's that old phrase? It's you get more flies with honey than vinegar. I think that's what Paul was doing here. Well, apparently Paul did is he caught some members of the Corinthian church. Well, they were feeling their oats, so to speak, and they were trying to enhance their status on the basis of their spiritual gifts. So in a way, you could say the Corinthian church members were having their own version of the Super Bowl going on. And they were trash talking. They were trash talking about whose gifts are going to be better and is better. They're jockeying for the best position on the church field here to say, hey, I'm going to score a spiritual touchdown. Because you see, they were making it more about individual play than team play. They were sitting there talking noise and talking trash about how God loves winners. But you know what? Winners are more loved than second place losers. That's what they were doing. And Paul's going, no, that's not happening. And he goes on, he wants to set the record straight. And that's the reason why he's including this, because he's saying all spiritual gifts are equal, equally blessed manifestations of the Spirit of God. I want to read from that chapter 12 real quick. I'm going to read this from 4 through 11. And it says, there are different spiritual gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are different ministries and the same Lord. And there are different activities, but the same God who produces all of them in everyone. A demonstration of the Spirit is given to each person for the common good. A word of wisdom is given by the Spirit to one person, a word of knowledge to another according to the same Spirit. Faith to still another by the same Spirit. Gifts of healing to another in the one Spirit. Performance of miracles to another. Prophecy to another. The ability to tell spirits apart to another. Different tongues to another. And the interpretation of the tongues to another. All these things are produced by the one and same Spirit who gives what he wants to each person. The rest of the chapter is on point with Paul's strong delivery that we are one body working toward a common goal, a common mission in which we are to be building the kingdom of God. And I'll say this for emphasis, those verses 26 and 27. If one part suffers, all parts suffer with it. And if one part gets the glory, all the parts celebrate with it. You are the body of Christ and parts of each other. It's from this point that Paul segues then from one body of diverse members, each playing an essential role. Each is playing an essential role for the good of the whole. And he's then directly challenging the Corinthians, and that goes for us too, when he does a super love throwdown that trumps all those gifts when he writes then in chapter 13. That even with all these wonderful spiritual gifts, even if we know the mysteries of life and everything, that'd be pretty cool, right? Wow. Even if you can move mountains, that's pretty impressive. Even if you give everything away, if you and we don't have love, that super agape love, we're nothing. We are nothing. Because why? Because we're missing the point. We're missing the point of what it truly means to love God and to love each other. You see, the problem isn't about a lack of spiritual gifts. The problem is being honed in a way in which these gifts are being practiced. How are you putting it into practice? And from whence, where is it coming? Whence it's springing from? Because it's got to be springing from the love of God. Amen. You know, you take all that in, that's pretty heavy stuff. We're no longer living for ourselves. We're living for God. And by doing it this way, what happens is God's love starts to change us. And it molds us, and it shapes us, and it transforms us. What that's happening is God's love is making us new beings in Jesus Christ. God's love moves us into living into a most excellent way. And then you see, friends, what was happening is we're beginning to be filled with this self-giving agape love of God, and we see with new eyes. We listen with new ears. We understand in new ways, and we're comprehending what is really, truly important in our lives. We follow Jesus in practicing love. I like this quote. I read this book, The Alchemist. I don't know if anybody's read The Alchemist before, yeah? So The Alchemist was by Brazilian lyricist and novelist Paulo Coelho. And so there's this quote I came across, and I really like this, is that when we love, we always strive to become better than we are. When we strive to become better than we are, everything around us becomes better too. I like that. And then I came across another quote that brought a big smile to my face. A wise physician, and it's hard to see that one, but they can see it at home. There's a wise physician says, the best medicine for humans is love. And someone asked, well, if it doesn't work? He smiled and answered, double the dose. Double the dose. Friends, while we strive to become better than we are, when we increase and double the dose, let's also ask ourselves this question, as well as of the church and its ministries. How might things we do be done with greater love? How might the things we do be done with greater love? A love that has deeper compassion in drawing the circle wide. A love that is essential, it is effective and eternal. The kind of love that takes practice, it takes practice repeatedly. There is nothing sentimental about the image of love that Paul sets forth before the church. Such a love is active. Such a love is tough. It is resilient and it is long-suffering. This practice, though, reflects the love of Jesus Christ. As I stated earlier, Rev. Kathy and I, we had this brief chat, and she reminded me, she said, hey, Mark, you know, we're both Facebook friends with the Reverend Dwayne Anders. Well, Dwayne Anders, he is the senior pastor at the Cathedral of the Rockies in the United Methodist Church in Boise, Idaho. Well, I'm going to share an example of what the love of Christ looks like in practice. I'm going to share this with you. So this church was built in the 1960s. Now think Boise, Idaho, right? Built in the 1960s, and they have this giant, it's huge, it's this beautiful stained glass window in the sanctuary, and it mainly depicts the early Christian leaders, except there is this very top panel, and it featured George Washington, Abraham Lincoln, and Robert E. Lee, standing shoulder to shoulder. Now, granted, in 1960, this was a white congregation, and they're thinking this window is, oh, yeah, it's inclusive. It's all inclusive. Well, 60 years later, the congregation was like, you know, we need to be rethinking that window. That panel right there. They believed it was time for a much-needed change. So what they did is, and Reverend Anders, he said, after those terrible killings of George Floyd and Breonna Taylor, we made the decision that that window has got to be removed. And so what the church did is they not only reached out and spoke about it within their faith community, they reached outside the walls of the church to get some opinions and thoughts and input about which historical figures should actually be depicted in the replacement panel. Well, friends, 50 names were generated. 50 names. That's a lot. And then through prayer with the congregation reflecting the love of Christ and the important work of resisting evil, injustice, and oppression, they determined that in place of this panel that had Robert E. Lee, they would now have one that had Leontine Kelly. Now, you may be wondering, who's Leontine Kelly? Well, I'm going to tell you. Leontine T.C. Kelly was elected in 1984 at the jurisdictional conference that was held in Boise, Idaho, and she was consecrated at the to the Cathedral of the Rockies Church. With her being, very importantly, with her being the first female black bishop in the United Methodist Church. And as Reverend Anders then shared, look, how could we not celebrate that historic moment? And in this slide right here, you can see, you'll see here that the new stained glass window, which is very beautiful, it was installed this past December. And in addition to Bishop Kelly, there are two names, the names of the first Japanese and the first Hispanic bishops in the United Methodist Church. And they were included here from the Western jurisdiction. That's Bishop Roy Sano and Bishop Elias Galvan. As the old panel, you may be wondering, well, what happened to that old panel? Did they just junk it, crack it up, and just let it go on its way? And they went, no. What that needs to happen is, what they did was they took that old panel with Robert E. Lee, and they donated it to the Idaho Black History Museum. And it's on display there. For the faith community, friends, for the faith community of the Cathedral Rockies, they felt that this was an imperative change to reflect the love of Jesus, but it wasn't about erasing history. It's about correcting the church's journey while understanding our own biases and participation in systemic racism. Harmony Faith Community, Paul, he writes about an enduring love. And in this life that we live here on earth, it is with the knowledge that whatever gifts, spiritual gifts that we may have, whatever achievements that we've accomplished, you know what? Those come to an end. Those come to an end. You know what doesn't come to an end? Love. Love that is agape love. In an anxious world that grasps for the permanent, the eternal is given through the experience of love. The legacy that matters most, friends, it's love. Embracing God's love anew. Yeah, you know what? It's hard work. It's not easy. It's not always simple. It actually is not simple, agape love. However, it is incumbent upon us as Christians to take the lead and live in a new way. I'm going to end my message with this quote by N.T. Wright. And N.T. Wright is an English New Testament scholar. He's a Pauline theologian and an Anglican bishop. And this is what he said. The point of 1 Corinthians 13 is that love is not our duty. It is our destiny. It is the language Jesus spoke, and we are called to speak it so that we can converse with him. It is the food they eat in God's new world, and we must acquire the taste for it here and now. It is the music that God has written for all his creatures to sing, and we are called to learn it and practice it now so as to be ready when the conductor brings down his baton. Friends, let us go now to put into practice and proclaim the life-giving and changing love of God, and let us go in peace to love and serve the Lord. What do you say, faith community? Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
If you can stand up with me for this final song. Put your hands together, come on. We'll be right back.
this is unfailing love, that you would take my place, that you would bear my cross. I sing for all that you've done for me.
Who brings our chaos? Come on, say.
Who brings our chaos back into order? Who makes the orphan a son and daughter? The Lord of glory, the Lord above all things. With truth and justice, shines like the sun in all of its brilliance. The Lord of glory, the Lord above all things. Come on, this is amazing grace, and this is unfailing love, that you would take my place, and that you would bear cross. Oh, you would lay down your life, that I would be set free. Oh, thank you, God. Oh, Jesus, I sing for all that you've done for me. Oh, Lord, and we say, worthy is the Lamb who was slain, and worthy is the one who slain, and worthy is the one who conquered the grave, and worthy is the Lamb who was slain.
Oh, you're worthy, God.
Worthy is the King who conquered the grave. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain.
Oh, worthy, worthy,
worthy is the King who conquered the grave.
This is amazing grace.
This is unfailing love, that you would take my place, that you would bear my cross, and you would lay down your life, that I would be set free. Oh, oh, oh. Jesus, I sing for all that you've done for me.
Everyone, go in peace. Have a blessed week.